helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me is Dr. Ed Rose. Dr. Rose, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. I know that you are from, you're calling in from Charlottesville, a place that I had a chance and privilege of working at for several years. Beautiful country. And we're going to dive in and be talking about discipleship as a kind of a main focus of our conversation. But before we get started, let me introduce our listeners, those watching, a little bit about you and your background. Dr. Rose accepted Jesus Christ through a hospital Bible study during his fellowship training. I'm going to leave some details out because I want us to go back on that in just a minute. He came to Christ, and God has been working in and through your life for many years, serving as a ruling elder at your church, medical mission teams to India, Bolivia, and Honduras. You teach Bible studies, and you are currently devoted yourself to discipling others. You recently published a book, which we'll talk a little bit about too, that deals with this subject, called Unrelenting Pursuit, Becoming God's Instruments in Making Disciples. Your passion is to encourage others to be discipled, and I think that's going to come out very clearly in our conversation together. Ed is a professor emeritus of medicine at the University of Virginia School of Medicine and now sees patients in free clinics. Ed and his wife Karen have 2 children and 6 grandchildren. So I guess we know how you're occupying your time. above and beyond that, you know, we talk about discipleship, discipling grandkids and your children is just as important. All that is kind of wrapped up together.
Absolutely.
So, well, tell me how you came to Christ. This is always an exciting story when we hear individuals coming to Christ during their training years. And tell us a little bit about how that all came together.
Bill, I was raised in a church. Mm-hmm. A pretty godly mother who insisted we go to church regularly. Unfortunately, I misunderstood the gospel. Mm-hmm. And thought that it was purely by obedience to God's commandments and word. And I realized when I would try and make efforts, I couldn't do it. And after that, I was probably in high school, I kind of abandoned an attempt to what I thought was being saved and having salvation. I still had a faith in God and in Christ, Jesus Christ, but didn't really know how to receive him. Mm. And that's hard to believe in America, but it happened to me. I went through with a nominal faith in college. Mm-hmm. And even in medical school. And then I met a very godly woman, and we were married my 4th year of medical school. Mm-hmm. Went through residency, and after having our 2 children in internal medicine residency, I decided to do a pulmonary fellowship. Mm-hmm. And as I began the first rotation down at the City County Hospital, this is in Birmingham, Alabama. One of my pals came up to me and said, listen, you need to be aware that when you rotate on this rotation, you're going to have a strange request. One of the attendings there is going to come up and ask you to attend an early morning meeting. Okay. He said, it's weird. He said, they pray.
Okay.
And sure enough, I rotated down there, and this tall, lanky pulmonary attending said, Ed, we have an early morning Bible study and wondered if you'd like to attend. It's once a week. And I did. And one of the first verses I heard was Ephesians 2:8-9. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any person should boast. And shortly thereafter, I came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Hmm. Wow. That's... I won't go deep into my story, but it was hearing the 4 spiritual laws, the gospel in the 4 spiritual laws and the verse Ephesians 2:8-9 that really hit me square between the eyes too. So the Lord is using that passage in scripture quite often. okay, so you come to Christ, but you know, for a lot of people, maybe the story ends there. I know I'm saved through Christ's atoning work, through His perfect obedience for me, but it had to go beyond that, didn't it? Because now you have to kind of figure out, how am I going to navigate this newfound faith? So what happened after you came to faith? How did you grow?
And this is one of the big reasons that I realized the importance of discipleship. Mm-hmm. The same faithful pulmonary attending and another pulmonary attending in the fellowship program discipled me until I completed my pulmonary fellowship. Mm-hmm. They helped me grow in the word and in prayer. Mm-hmm. I was taught how to lead a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And they also discipled me by example. These were very godly men that walked very closely with Jesus Christ.
So would they bring? I mean, how did that look? Were you in their home a lot? Were you doing Bible study together? Were they taking you to church? I mean, how did that practically look?
It looked like real world evangelist or disciple making, mm-hmm. in that I would be along with them as they encountered patients. Mm-hmm. An example of that would be one of these attendings and I walked in to see a patient on a cardiology service. We were consulted, and as we walked in the room, this gentleman was tearful. He was crying, mm-hmm. profoundly, and the attending asked him, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "I know I'm going to die. I just know it." And there was nothing in the record, medical record, that led us to understand why he would feel that way. Mm. But the attending saw a Bible on the man's bedstand, and he said, "Is that your Bible?" Mm-hmm. The patient answered, "Yes." And Bill asked permission to read a passage, and he read to it Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Hmm. "Be anxious about nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Hmm. I was standing at the foot of the bed when the attending Bill read this, and I could see a wave of peace just flow over this patient. And you can imagine how impressed I was to see one of the attending physicians ministering in patients as we saw patients on rounds. We went back to see this gentleman the next day, and we found an empty room. And we asked the nurse what had happened. And this gentleman had passed away during the night. Mm. And there's an axiom in medicine that when a patient has a premonition of death, you take it seriously, because often they know something that physicians may not know.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
If you, as a health practitioner, have seen four patients, probably one of them, statistically, is experiencing chronic pain. That's a big problem. When emotions are involved, it becomes much harder for CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, to impact pain. They're more than that. People are more than just their physical selves. They are emotional selves also. And we are able to address that as Christians, and we need to.
So being a Christ follower, obviously, in medicine gives you a tremendous opportunity to minister into the lives of the patients around you, praying with patients and showing Christ's care and compassion. But this idea of discipleship really resonates strongly when you're talking with an ongoing relationship that you might have with a colleague, certainly. The opportunity to have that day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year, so to speak, interaction with them really provides a space for discipleship. You're discipling others now. What was done for you is the 2 Timothy 2:2 model, isn't it, Ed? It's the, you know, what was invested in you, you are now pouring into the lives of others. and a fulfillment of the Great Commission to make disciples, not just converts, but to make disciples, which is a much more fully orbed call, which is helping people grow in the greater grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. What have been some of the opportunities you've now had to do that in the lives of others? And also maybe speak to some of the challenges, Ed, because I got to think with an attending and a trainee, that is, that there can be some power differential issues, some issues, and some challenges with that as well as to how that relationship might look.
That's absolutely right, Bill. And when I was the division chief in pulmonary medicine for near the last 7 years of my tenure at UVA, I had to be careful because if I invited somebody, one of the people that were under my supervision to do that, mm-hmm. they might feel pressure to do it because of my position of as division chief, rather than really wanting to do it for the right reasons.
Right.
So we have to take care in whom we issue the invitation to. I retired fully in 2021 and began to call people and that I knew, physicians out in practice. And the invitation was, would you like to meet with me regularly mm-hmm. over the course of the next year in order for both all of us to grow in spiritually in order that we might become disciples who make disciples? Mm-hmm. The 2 Timothy 2:2 model that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at the response. The first position I called said, it's kind of interesting you called, Ed. Yes, I would. And he said, I have two other friends that would like to join us as well. Mm. That group is still meeting.
Wow. Wow. That's
awesome. We meet now once a month. Huh. But it's amazing that the question you ask, it really gets at how do you start making disciples? And often you just have to ask some people, you state the goal, mm-hmm. and that's to grow in Christ, to become more like him, mm-hmm. including to make disciples who make disciples. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed at the positive responses you'll get.
Let's explore that a little bit more about growing in Christ. I think that would be certainly an agreeable goal for all of us. We want to mature and grow. The Bible talks about sanctification, to grow in greater holiness because of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in us and yes. through us. But what does it look like? Growth is, it can feel elusive. Sometimes when you're close to it, like we are with our own lives, it's hard to sometimes measure and see that growth. We know that, Christian life it should be an upward trajectory to some degree, but it can go up and down too. Seasons of, church father talked about the dark nights of the soul. I mean, there can be these very difficult times. What does growth look like? How can we measure it? What are some of the marks of it?
And that's a great question, Bill. The call to grow is clear in the gospel. Mm-hmm. When we come to faith in Christ, we have immediately positional sanctification, mm-hmm. positional holiness. And positional holiness means that we are covered with a cloak of Christ's righteousness, mm-hmm. who paid the penalty for our sins, as you know. Mm-hmm. And when God looks at us, he sees the cloak of Jesus' righteousness. Mm. But underneath Jesus' cloak, we still are the same person that 10 milliseconds before faith was. We're then called to undergo transformational holiness, and that's sanctification. Mm-hmm. But another way to describe it is it's Christ's likeness. It's growing more like Jesus Christ. And that process is a progressive process throughout the remainder of our lives until we take our last breath and go be with the Lord. Mm. And you're right, there will be ups and downs, but the progressive trend should be growing toward, over the course of our life, should be growing toward Christ-likeness.
Well, you know, I often think of Paul when he talks about his own life, and progressively, as you can mark it out in some of the epistles, he talks about the least of all apostles, and then it ends up being the chief. And then later in life, he sees himself as the chief of all sinners. It almost seems the way that the more that Paul grew in his faith, the longevity of it, he seemed to think of himself worse. It can seem like a contradiction. Flesh that out a little bit. I'd be curious to explore that with you.
Well, I think that ties into one of the chapters, one of the areas that's covered in the book I wrote, okay. And something that's not emphasized very often. And it's having the perspective of who we are in relation to God. When we realize the magnificence of his holiness and righteousness, we're not even a ripple on the Richter scale compared to the absolute magnitude of the Almighty Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one of the first fruits of holiness, transformational holiness, is humility. It's humbling ourselves to nothingness with God being everything. And I think that may be where Paul was coming from. We certainly don't think that Paul was the chief of all sinners around, but I think he was saying that he is just as much a sinner as anyone, the worst sinner.
Yeah,
all of our sins are so egregious to God that we have no standing on our own. It's a free gift, and it's only by God's mercy and grace that he gives us the opportunity through the blood of Jesus Christ to be reconciled to him and to have the privilege of serving him.
Yeah, I almost picture it like Paul is kind of experiencing an Isaiah moment when he goes into the throne room in Isaiah 6 and he says, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips," which is interesting for a God's prophet to say. So I guess, the more we grow in Christ, where the more we start to put ourselves before the Lord and to see his holiness as we do, we see ourselves as who, broken almost in a sense and understanding who we are in light of that. And it puts a different image. Before I became a Christian, I was big, dumb, and happy. I thought I was an okay guy. I thought, maybe I was a little bad, but I thought I had everything together. And now I realize, no, I'm not. In fact, when somebody says, you're selfish, and I like to say to them, you don't know the half of it. If you really only knew, I'm much worse than that. Because the gospel really amplifies not just only a realistic view of our sin, but also it points us to a remarkable solution, and that is our Savior, a wonderful Savior who has died for us. Let's explore this idea of repentance too. I'd like to talk about repentance and how that plays into the Christian life and becoming a growing disciple. How does repentance play into it?
Well, repentance is certainly part of coming to faith, and it means to turn away. It means to turn away from the sinful life that we've engaged in. But it's not just turning away, it's turning toward the Lord Jesus Christ and embracing the free gift that he offers us. But it's also, repentance is to realize how wretched we are. The song by John Newton, Amazing Grace, he refers to himself as being wretched. And there is strong meaning in that. We sometimes sing over those words and don't realize what they really mean. But we indeed are wretched. And to realize the magnitude of grace and mercy that we've been given. And so repentance is, at the time of coming to faith, these are the words of Peter in Acts, when they came to him after his first sermon after Pentecost, and said, they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized." But Jack Miller has a great book on repentance, Pastor Jack Miller, and he talks about the importance of repentance in the course of sanctification. We over and over again have to go back to the well of living water and ask for forgiveness and for to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome our the area we were disobedient in. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so repentance is both in being saved and also in sanctification, I think.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Are you ready for the 2026 CMDA National Convention in Loveland, Colorado? Join us April 21st through the 23rd and worship with our returning guests, Shine. Spend quality time fellowshipping with like-minded Christian healthcare professionals from all over the world. Hear invaluable discussions from plenary speakers and breakouts on a huge number of topics facing healthcare today. Take time in the beautiful surroundings of the Rocky Mountains for personal and spiritual refreshment, and find encouragement for the renewing of your faith. If you haven't registered, now is your last chance to get the best price of the year. Register today at natcon.cmda.org.
No, that's why I wanted you to touch on it, because I really do think it is such a key part of the sanctification process that we be marked out as repenting repenters, that not only are we doing the act, but our lives would be marked out by repentance, because it will remind us, it will, like Jack Miller, I think, often says, you know, it'll remind us to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. When we're repenting, we're reminded of what Christ has done, because, you know, my life can be like a steel sieve. Everything can just kind of pour out, and I can, you know, I can forget God's goodness if I'm not reminding myself of the gospel every day. And it's so important to cling tightly to him. So you mentioned in the book maybe some disciplines or some means of grace that are helpful or important marks of a growing disciple, that are important to grow as a disciple. Touch on a couple of them that you think, I mean, I know they're all important in their own way, but some that you think are particularly important to emphasize.
This book on disciple making was written by a physician, me. Most of the other books have been written by seminarians.
Yeah.
And I felt it's very important to have a perspective of someone in healthcare, but also someone that hasn't been trained in prayer, hasn't been trained in interpreting, you know, how to study correctly the scripture, how to interpret it. So the first part of the book deals with those areas, the correct interpretation and principles for interpreting scripture, principles for prayer. And so those are the beginning things, God's means of grace. We know that the moment of faith in Christ, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that uses the other means of grace to transform us into Christ's likeness. But we also have to make our own effort. We have to be diligent to cooperate with the Spirit and use the other means of grace. We have each other. You know, following Christ is not a lone ranger phenomenon, and it's dangerous to do that. And so we, you know, iron sharpens iron. We encourage each other in growing and provoking each other to good works. Besides growing in humility and overcoming pride, I think that obedience is very important. Increasingly overcoming areas in our life that are sinful, and becoming obedient in areas as the scripture and prayer and the Holy Spirit reveal areas in our life is very important, because the Holy Spirit cannot abide sin. And if we have persistent sin in our life, that squelches the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us. Yeah. Unforgiveness is a huge problem in many of us. And people misunderstand what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Growing in affliction, another area that's important. And you know, Hebrews 12 tells us that God will discipline us by areas in our life in order for our spiritual benefit. And so we should look on affliction and suffering and pain, persecution, as God's means for growing us and using us, and not look at it negatively, which sometimes I have tendency to do.
Yeah, God desires the best for us, and sometimes He uses what does C.S. Lewis say? Pain is like God's megaphone. Yes. We really hear God in a very, very loud, intangible way through pain, suffering, difficulty, and challenges. So. Very true. You know, and again, everything you said, you know, the Word of God, letting the Word of God become, you know, that's where the power is. I mean, as much as it, you know, has benefited both of us to have other people in our lives pouring their time, energy, commitment to us, it was really the discipleship of the Word of God through them into our lives and hearts. And that's really key. The Word really affects change. And of course, repentance, you know, causes us to turn away from sin and to set our affections and our sights upon the Lord and what He has done and turn to Him. So all of these things are so important. So let me kind of land our conversation on this next question, and that is how does becoming a growing disciple become efficacious for trainees who feel like they've got so little bandwidth, they have so little capacity, and the challenges are such as they are. How can students that are more probably more likely to be listening to this podcast than anyone, how can they become growing disciple in a context and an environment that is so challenging and difficult?
Yes. Well, the students in medical school or nursing school or any of the health areas are increasingly under stress and strain that will challenge their faith. And in the 21st century, it's worse than it was when I went to medical school, certainly. But it's what is the challenge is not just a very intense time of training, which leaves little time for being in the spiritual disciplines and maintaining their faith or actually growing. But they are confronted with issues that contradict or at odds with God's principles in Scripture. And they have to learn how to reconcile that with their faith and what their beliefs are spiritually. One of the things that I think is extremely valuable from involvement in CMDA is that, first of all, it gives a group of Christ followers the opportunity to meet and encourage each other and have areas of study, Bible study, prayer for each other that provide insight in some of the issues and challenges they face. And people that now are professionals in their specialty, their area of healthcare, that can provide insight, spiritual insight for some of those issues. It's also a format for people that don't yet know Christ to come to Him, because there also is the possibility of having evangelism through involvement in CMDA. You know, one of the things that's very clear right now, if you look at the medical literature in the last few years, is there is increasing moral stress in physicians and nurses. And the signs of it and symptoms are burnout, depression, and too many healthcare professionals are leaving their practice because of it. The antidote, the medicine for it, is to be following Jesus and have His full armor on that He provides us, that He promises will protect us. And so this is a way, CMDA is a wonderful way to grow progressively spiritually and to have the armor of Christ for these issues, the challenging issues that they're going to face.
Yeah, amen. Agreed. Well, that's a great way to end our conversation. But this book will be available in our show notes. I'd like to be able to share that. People can access that and order that online, I suspect.
Yes.
We can get that out there. Of course, like you said, being part of CMDA provides an environment, a space where medical dental and healthcare professionals and trainees can gather together for mutual Absolutely. Encouragement, growth, discipleship. Even as we're on mission together, when we're serving cross-culturally mm-hmm. or domestically, that is such an opportunity for God to be working into our lives and to sanctify us and to help us grow. Because I think a lot of growth happens when God's people are on mission together as well. So there's so many facets of this that we could explore further. I just want to thank you for your continued commitment, Butch. You know, what was invested in you, you are pouring into the lives of others. And it's exciting to hear that one group is still going strong over these many years. And thank you for your service and the ways that you serve both the professionals and the trainees there at the University of Virginia. And thank you for writing this book and for all that God has called you to do. Thank you, Dr. Rose.
Well, Bill, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
God bless.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.